Don Burley, a knight in armor, sat in his tiny dim-lit room 50 feet below the bright Atlantic waves, testing his weapons for the conflict that lay ahead. In these moments of raised suspense, before action began, his racing brain often explored such fantasies. He felt a kinship with all shepherds who had guarded their flocks back to the dawn of time. He was David among ancient Palestinian hills, alert for the mountain lions that would prey upon his father's sheep. But far nearer in time, and far closer in spirit, were the men who had marshaled the great herds of cattle on the American plains only a few lifetimes ago. They would have understood his work, though his implements would have been magic to them. The pattern was the same, only the scale had altered. It made no fundamental difference that the beasts Don herded weighed almost 100 tons and browsed on the endless savannas of the sea. The school was now less than 2 miles away, and Don checked his scanner's continuous circling to concentrate on the sector ahead. The picture on the screen altered to a fan-shaped wedge as the sonar beam started to flick from side to side. Now he could count every whale in the school, and even make a good estimate of its size. With a practiced eye, he began to look for stragglers. Don could never have explained what drew him at once toward those four echoes at the southern fringe of the school. It was true that they were a little apart from the rest, but others had fallen as far behind. There is some sixth sense that a man acquires when he has stared long enough into a sonar screen. Some hunch which enables him to extract more from the moving flecks than he has any right to do. Without conscious thought, Don reached for the control which would start the turbines whirling into life. Sub-5 was just getting underway when 3 leaden thuds reverberated through the hull as if someone was knocking on the front door and wanted to come in. "Well, I'm damned," said Don. "How'd you get here?" He did not bother to switch on the TV. He'd know Benj's signal anywhere. The porpoises must have been in the neighborhood and had spotted him before he'd even switched on the hunting call. For the 1,000th time, he marveled at their intelligence and loyalty. It was strange that nature had played the same trick twice, on land with the dog, in the ocean with the porpoise. Why were these graceful sea beasts so fond of man, to whom they owed so little? It made one feel that the human race was worth something after all, if it could inspire such unselfish devotion. It had been known for centuries that the porpoise was at least as intelligent as the dog, and could obey quite complex verbal commands. The experiment was still in progress, but if it succeeded, then the ancient partnership between shepherd and sheepdog would have a new lease on life. Don switched on the speakers recessed in the sub's hull and began to talk to his escorts. Most of the sounds he uttered would have been meaningless to other human ears. They were the product of long research by the animal psychologists of the World Food Administration. He gave his orders twice to make sure they were understood, then checked with the sonar screen to see that Benj and Susan were following astern as he had told them to. The 4 echoes that had attracted his attention were clearer and closer now, and the main body of the whale pack had swept past him to the east. He had no fear of a collision. The great animals, even in their panic, could sense his presence as easily as he could detect theirs, and by similar means. Don wondered if he should switch on his beacon. They might recognize its sound pattern, and it would reassure them. But the still unknown enemy might recognize it too. He closed for an interception and hunched low over the screen as if to drag from it, by sheer willpower, every scrap of information the scanner could give. There were 2 large